So this is a very deeply religious story. It was a Jesuit, a Dominican, and a Franciscan, and they were walking along on an old road, debating who was the greatest of all and what was the greatest order. And suddenly there was an apparition of the Holy Family that appeared in front of them, with Jesus in the manger and Mary and Joseph praying over him. The Franciscan fell on his face, overcome with awe and ease at the sight of God in such poverty. The Dominican fell on his knees, adoring the beautiful reflection of the Holy Family. But the Jesuit walked up to Joseph, put his arms around his shoulder, and he said, "So have you thought about where you're going to send him to school?" Jesuits. So the scripture that you've just heard comes to us over 21 centuries. It's old. It really helps us understand God in our own personal narrative today. For instance, who's God's favorite, you know? The other day, one of my granddaughters asked me, "Grandpa, who's your favorite granddaughter?" And I said, "Well, you, of course." Oh, big mistake if you have more than one granddaughter. "Hey, everybody, I'm Grandpa's fave. Think fast." "Oh, you're all my favorite." Boy, that was... Sirach begins with, God has no favorites, so we're all kind of loved equally. But, as the psalm says, God hears the cry of the poor. That's a second reading from 2 Timothy seems to back that up, that God is my strength when I am down. Trust in him. After Sirach comes that poetry in Psalm 34. It leads us to the care of the poor and listening to the brokenhearted. It proposes an interesting question, I think, to all of us today. When we pray, does that offer hope to the poor, or is it all about us? Jesus' parable in the gospel speaks clearly to every generation. We're human. That's what it's like. And to me, it's one of the most provocative. It's about God's justice. And the reason that it's provocative is that God's justice doesn't make sense. It's not logical in the human mind. Sounds a little like our house. No matter who got the best grades, no matter who won the tournament, no matter who cleans their bedroom, the one in need at this moment gets the attention. Jesus then invited his listeners to a two-person drama that fleshed out his teaching on prayer that is dedicated to those who are convinced of their own righteousness and despises everyone else. Jesus contrasts that egoist performer, the Pharisee, with a starkly humble petitioner, a tax collector. And Jesus' invitation, of course, at this now, Jesus' invitation in the gospel is to see ourselves in these characters. So now I ask you to put yourself into these two profiles. Yes, both of them. So here they are. Both are at their personal time of prayer. People may think that, pray and you can change God, but we know that actually true prayer is about changing us. Yet that doesn't seem like the Pharisee is going to change much in the way that he prays. He seems to think that extra work that he's done, those honorable things that he is, will get him salvation. And he seems to think that God owes him everything, big time, for the good life that he's lived. He's so focused on his achievements, but all we get, all we hear is arrogance and self-centeredness and lack of true knowledge of himself, judgment of others. He fails to see God's activity in his life. Where is God working in his life? A person's goodness doesn't begin inside. It begins with God's gift, it's God's blessing. So the question with him is, where is the humility that we talked about? Where is the gratitude? When I worked for the diocese, there was a priest on the deacon board, and he would say, "You know, Maury, you're really noted for your humility." "What are you laughing at?" And I told him, "Well, that's all part of being an introvert." And so sarcasm is an underrated art form, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you still with me about these two characters? Okay. The tax collector focuses not on meritorious things that he's done, but what he's failed to do, what his life has been like. In his prayers towards God and the fact that he needs God in his life, he's sorry for the things that he hasn't done or the bad things that he's done. He's totally dependent on God, and he surrenders himself completely to God. He is all humility and all gratitude. I think if we're in touch with our own humanity, we will know that our relationship with God is so important, and that our relationship with each other helps us to stay connected. Although sometimes we're pretty fragile and pretty fickle. Thomas Merton, a spiritual writer and a Trappist monk, was standing on a street corner in Louisville, Kentucky, and he had a rather revelatory experience, unlike the Pharisee. He was overwhelmed with love by all the people that he saw and all the people that were passing by, and how he was so happy that he was one of them. And he said, he prayed, thank God that I'm like all these other people, and that I'm one of them, and that I'm just a person among the others. So our prayer should be a prayer of humility and thanksgiving, prayer that we are lifted up and can lift up and cheer all those people around us, not trying to outshine them. It's not about who's best. The sky would be awfully dark with just one star in it.